When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, What must we do to the works God requires? Jesus answered, The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
So this morning, I managed to avoid being punched by my family. And you might think, well, that's normal, isn't it? Shouldn't you? Surely you're not punched every morning, Phil, by your family. But it's the first of the month. And in our house, our children like to do pinch-punch first of the month. I don't know if anybody grew up doing that. So, but thankfully, I managed to creep out the house before anybody pinched me or punched me and said, pinch-punch, first of the month. So welcome to July 2018. I can't believe it's July already. Can you? The months go by. And last month, during June, we were looking at parables that Jesus told. So stories, essentially, that Jesus told. And we thought about, well, why did he tell these stories? Why not just tell us the kind of meaning behind them? Why does he tell them? And we were thinking about how it's to open our thinking and to get us to question. And also, because he's dealing with very deep spiritual things, it takes more than simply a list of instructions or a set of doctrine. It takes a story to engage our imagination and engage our heart. And this month, essentially, we're looking at metaphors. Jesus told stories, but Jesus also used metaphors. And we're going to be looking at the I am sayings of Jesus. So you'll probably be aware of what a metaphor is. The technical definition of a metaphor is this: a figure of speech in which a word or phrase is applied to an object or action to which it is not literally applicable. Pliable? I don't know what I've written there. Anyway, it's taking something that's not literal and saying it's like this. So an obvious example is when someone says it's raining cats and dogs. They don't mean it's literally cats and dogs are falling from the sky. They mean that it's raining a lot. Now, depending on how your brain works, you might really like metaphors. If you're somebody who is autistic or on the autistic spectrum, you'll really struggle with metaphors because people who have that kind of brain tend to take things quite literally. So an exaggerated example of that is that they'd be looking outside for the cats and dogs that are falling from the sky. Now, Jesus obviously knew that some of his audience, would really be able to grasp these metaphors, and they would help them understand what he was saying. So Jesus uses several, and we're going to be looking at four, possibly five this month. Jesus says, I am the gate, I am the way, I am the vine, I am the bread of life. So Jesus uses metaphors in order to help people understand, to stretch our thinking and to take something conceptual and help us to understand it on a spiritual level, which takes some doing because often we operate in quite a material way, and actually we need to go deeper to the spiritual. So Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And if you'd have said that these days, someone would have said, oh, but I'm gluten-free. So that's going to be a problem for me. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And in those days, I don't think anybody said I'm gluten-free, so he was fine, he got away with it. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Verse 25 and 26. When the crowds found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, teacher, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Jesus had previously, just before that, done an amazing miracle where he'd taken a small amount of fish and a small amount of bread and had turned it into a huge amount for people who were very hungry. So they'd literally taken bread and they'd eaten it and they'd had their fill. And now they were coming after Jesus. Now there would have been some people who were very poor who were literally coming to Jesus for literal bread to literally fill their stomachs. There'd have been others who were really intrigued by this miracle worker and they wanted to see him do more amazing things, and we'll look at that a bit later. But essentially, Jesus says to them, you are looking for me because you have had your fill. He's saying, you're too focused on the material. Now, a very wise philosopher said, we are living in a material world, and I am a material girl. Does anyone know that philosopher?
Yes.
Madonna. Madonna said that. Madonna said, we are living in a material world, and I am a material girl. And she's right. We are living in a material world, aren't we? We live in a world of material, of matter. You know, from right here on the earth, the things that we can see and touch around us, to right out there in the universe, it's all matter. And as Brian Cox says, matter matters. It's important. And it's important to God. God created this world that we're in. So the material world does matter. But we can become too focused on the material world. I think, particularly in our society today, because the advertising that we're surrounded by is constantly trying to tell us that if we buy this product, if we get that, if we earn this amount of money, if we have that, then we will feel complete and whole. And even though we know it's not true, we fall for it again and again because we want to be complete and whole, and because it seems an easier road than this following Jesus road, doesn't it, to just kind of get stuff. You know, if I just get stuff. So material matter matters, and the material world is good, but we can become too focused on that. But then conversely, we can become too focused on the spiritual world. You might have heard the phrase, so heavenly minded, you're of no earthly use. And if somebody is constantly, you know, in the temple, in the synagogue, in the church, praying and praying and reading their holy scriptures and praying, and outside is a world of people that need their help, then that's no good either, is it? I think both those extremes are dangerous and can lead us away from actually what we're called to be. And of course, we have this perfect picture, don't we, in Jesus. Jesus, who is 100% God and 100% man. He's able to hold together both the material and the spiritual. And again in Scripture, we see that that's what's happening. That's God's mission. You know, it says that the Spirit will be poured out on what? On all flesh. The spiritual will be poured out on the material. Yes, we are material, we're human, but we're designed to live in conjunction with our spiritual Father. That's what we're made for. And actually, if we have one without the other, then we get disjointed. Jesus is 100% human, and he was when he was here on earth, and he still is now. He rose in his human body. Matter matters, but we need to fuse it with the spiritual. We need to receive the Holy Spirit so that the spiritual can live inside our physical bodies. So Jesus tries to open their minds to the spiritual. That's why he uses this phrase, I am the bread of life. Not just you need bread, but I am the bread. And he knows that the spiritual will transform the physical. That if they can engage with God on this level, then the very material things around them will be transformed by that. Verses 27 and 28. Jesus says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man, himself, Jesus, will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the work God requires? And Jesus replies, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. It's an interesting description of what God's work is. What is God about in the world? The work of God is to believe in the one he has sent, to believe in Jesus. Jesus saying, if you want to do the work of God, you need to believe in me. But why? Why is belief so important? Why does it matter? I often use the example of how I might believe in, I believe in David Beckham. David Beckham is a person who I know exists. I believe he exists because I haven't met him personally, but I've seen him on the TV, I've read articles about him. I don't think it's a conspiracy that David Beckham exists. I actually believe that David Beckham exists. Now, my belief in David Beckham makes absolutely no difference to my life. It doesn't make any difference. Now, if I knew David Beckham personally, that would make a big difference because maybe I'd get to, you know, drive in his sports cars and, you know, swim in his swimming pool and, you know, maybe he'd get me amazing birthday presents. So my relationship with David Beckham would make a huge difference to my life. But my belief in David Beckham might not make any difference to my life. And it's the same with us and Jesus. We can believe in Jesus all we want, you know, kind of intellectual assent. Great, you can believe in Jesus, yes. You know, and the historians would back you up with that. Say, yes, there was a person called Jesus who did exist. You can even go further and say, well, I believe that not just he exists, but that all those miracles were true, that they were literally true. That's great for you to believe in that. But does it make any difference to your life? Does it make you act any different to the people around you? Are you any different at work tomorrow morning or wherever you are tomorrow morning because of that belief? And it makes a difference when that belief goes further and becomes a relationship. When you know Jesus, then it makes a difference. Believing is not just intellectual assent. You believe in Jesus. You belong to Jesus. And because of that, it shapes who you are. It shapes how you treat people. So the work of God is to get people to believe in Jesus. Not just so that they can tick a box and say, oh yeah, we have, you know, lots of believers now. We have 4,000 believers now. We have 5,000 believers. Not just for that, but because when people believe in Jesus, when people know Jesus, it makes a difference to the world. See, again, it's the spiritual and the material coming together, making a difference in the actual physical world. So the work of God is that people would believe in Jesus. Because then the poor are helped. Because then we can share God and the good news with people. Because then we can become more loving and joyful and peaceful and patient. And then we know that God is really at work. But they don't get it. They don't understand it. Verse 30. So they asked him, well, what miraculous signs then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it's written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus says to them, I tell you the truth. It's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. It's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He's talking about himself again. So they said, from now on, give us this bread. They don't get it. They say, do a magical trick for us. Do something amazing. And when we look at the context of this passage, when we look at the beginning of chapter 6, we see that Jesus begins by feeding 5,000 people. And then Jesus walks on water. He's doing all these amazing things. And a lot of the people that are following are doing that because he's doing these amazing things. But in the Bible, in the Gospels, whenever it talks about Jesus' miracles, they're called signs. They're called signs. They're not there to be an amazing magic trick for the sake of it. They're a sign. What does a sign do? It points to something. Imagine if I was going to get my family ready for a trip to the seaside. We've got our buckets and spades in the cars, you know, our deck chairs, we've got everything, got the sun cream, everything in the car, get the kids in the car, and we set off towards Scarborough. And then we come to this sign for Scarborough. So I park up the car, I say, come on, kids, out we get. And we sit under this sign for Scarborough. And the kids go, this is rubbish. We buy a main road. Where's the sand? I say, no, this is Scarborough. Look, it says Scarborough on the sign. We all know, don't we, that a sign is there to point to something else. It's not there as an end in itself. You don't stop there and enjoy your day at the seaside. You need to actually get to Scarborough. Jesus' miracles are called signs because they're pointing to something else. They're not the end in itself. They're not the thing to chase after in itself. The thing that they're pointing to is Jesus, relationship with Jesus. He does them because he wants to draw people to himself. It points to the real miracle, and the real miracle is that God, the God of heaven, became Jesus, the man on earth, the man who comes to us and says, come to me, I will give you rest, I will give you life. So to finish, four things that bread gives us. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. What does bread give us? Well, bread keeps us alive. God is our sustainer. We often don't think about this, but every single breath you're breathing, even right now, each of you is breathing, that is sustained by God, the bread of life, Jesus, who was there at the beginning of creation and will be there at the end and into eternity. Every breath is sustained by God. God is our sustainer, and we need bread to keep us alive. What else does bread do? It fills us up. And we have emptiness inside of us, don't we? And we can try and fill it in lots of ways. And these crowds that were around Jesus at that time were wanting their fill, but they were wanting their physical fill. They were wanting their fill of bread that would fill their stomachs, or their fill of miracles where they'd be entertained and enthralled. But Jesus says, no, you could keep trying to fill that, but it's never going to fill that emptiness. You need me, says Jesus. I am the bread of life, says Jesus. I am the only one who can fill that emptiness. Thirdly, it gives us energy. Food gives us energy, doesn't it? Bread gives us energy so that we can do what? So that we can live out our faith. It's not just about us feeling nice and full, you know, spiritually. Oh, this is a nice, cozy feeling. God fills us up to send us out into the world. And again in the Bible, when it talks about the Holy Spirit, it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It fills us up, but not, again, so that we can feel warm and cozy, but so that we can go out into the world and make a difference. And finally, bread is for sharing. Later on, we'll share communion and we'll break the bread and we'll share it. And it's a picture not just to be kept inside this building, but the word Eucharist means to be broken open. Jesus was broken on the cross, and we are to be broken open, to be poured out for the world. It's to be shared. The bread of life, to keep us alive, to fill us up, to give us energy for all that God calls us to do, so that we can share his good news that Jesus is the bread of life. Amen.